All right, folks, we welcome you back to Sports Talk Monday edition, 95.3 The Score. Let's chat up the coach, whether he's watching film, playing hoops with the family, just doing what's needed to remain safe and sane during the pandemic. Follow on Twitter. The handle is at GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves checks in. Coach, how's everybody still holding up?
We are still holding up quite well, actually. Yeah, it looks like the boys are kind of stretching a little bit. Looks like we might be in some dunk ball here shortly. So, yeah, let's go, buddy. I keep inviting you over.
Yeah, I might be best keeping my distance at this point. But like I said, that's a rain check that will be honored eventually, I guarantee.
Yeah, that's right. I apologize. Here I'm supposed to be saying, yeah, we're supposed to stay apart. And I just invited you over here. No, I don't want you here. Stay away.
You finally came to your senses. So
yeah,
we had a caller last segment who said, you know, and it might be an extreme situation. You have scholarship athletes incoming. In the event that, like, there was, heaven forbid, no season next year, what is the obligation? I mean, would they still be the letter of intent? Would that still be valid? Or is that just something that that's too far down the road to even ponder?
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that. I have no idea. That would be determined at the NCAA level. So
okay. Yeah, I didn't think it. And like I said, we're still just past what would have been this season. So yeah, maybe we shouldn't even put that out there.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful that we have some kind of a season. I truly do believe that we will. I don't, however, believe, you know, I'm hoping, but I don't believe it'll start with fans, which is unfortunate because we have such a great fan base here.
Sure.
I'm still hopeful.
Right.
Still hopeful.
You know, I was thinking about some of the assistants you've had and where they've landed. We always hear about coaching trees, and when you have success, people want a part of that. So, like, when somebody like Nicole Powell or J.R. Payne go on and become head coaches, get bigger jobs, I would imagine that's a pretty big source of pride for you.
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. And, you know, Lisa Fortier at Gonzaga, and then a player that played for me is now the head coach at Division I at Southern Utah University. And she's hired two of my Ducks as her assistants. So they're killing it down there. So, yeah, you know, I take ownership. When they play, I look at the box scores, or I try to watch when I can. And, yeah, they're like family. So, you know, I'm always pulling for them.
You know, in the case
of
Nicole,
except of course when we play JR.
Right. You know? No, when I was thinking about Nicole Powell, who's obviously a remarkable player. I mean, she was knocking down triple doubles at Stanford. She came here with you from Gonzaga. Now she went from Grand Canyon, head coach UC Riverside. I spoke with her a couple times on this show. I mean, when you think about her smarts, knowledge of the game, doesn't take long to realize that she was going to be something special, right?
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. She was a whole package. And you know, she was great in the living room, so to speak, you know, when we talk about home visits and things like that. Great with recruits. I thought she was terrific in player development. I still look at some of the drills. In fact, I was looking at them today, trying to, you know, just kind of get together for when, you know, we do get back at some point. And I loved what she did in player development. Some of those drills. And she's the whole package. I really miss her. She was a good friend, or is a good friend, but I mean,
right,
was, in terms of, you know, and she lived right around the corner from me too, so which was super nice. But love her, I wish her well at Riverside.
Talking with Coach Graves, so you have assistants. What an important role they play. Everyone's got their own personal aspirations. So once there is someone on your staff and they let you know that they would like to, you know, perhaps explore another avenue, become a head coach themselves, is there kind of a protocol or process that the head coach has there?
Well, I would like to think they would be honest with me and say, hey, I'm looking, or I'm interested in this or this position. I always encourage them, you know, and what I always tell them, same thing, you can always say no. You know, it doesn't hurt to go through the process. you know, so that maybe you get a little bit better, you know, for the next time, you know, for the next job. And if they offer it to you and you just don't feel right about it, then you can always say no. But, yeah, I think it's great. I think, you know, for their own growth, they should, you know, always be looking to better themselves in their position. I don't think they should just take anything.
Right.
But, you know, because a lot of those jobs may not pay as much as they're making as assistants here. So, but yeah, I feel like I have a good relationship with all my coaches, and so they would certainly have me in the loop because obviously I can be a big help to them.
Sure.
As well.
I saw a video of Jazz Shelley. She got the Basketball Victoria Award back in her native Australia. It's pretty prestigious. And when we think about what she contributed as a freshman, I was talking about, she has that don't judge a book by its cover look. She's very soft spoken. She's not physically imposing, but she's a ferocious competitor. How excited should we be to see what she's going to become this next year as a sophomore?
Oh, I can't wait. I think she's going to have such a huge year for us. I saw your tweet today. I thought you were spot on too in your assessment or your retweet. Yeah, she is, you know, unassuming, you know, maybe doesn't look the part, but she is, so skilled, so competitive. I would use the term killer, but it's, you know, doesn't seem that appropriate, but she's that, after watching Michael Jordan, you know, she's got some of those qualities in her, and she's won at every level, you know, and every team she's been on, she's been a winner, and that's not by coincidence. And so, yeah, I expect her to have a huge year for us, and she's going to need to, you know. 7 of our 12 players on the roster are going to be freshmen, so she is a veteran as a sophomore. She's going to be one of the kids that everybody's looking up to. So, but she's going to have a good year for us.
No, her ferocity is impressive. Last week we talked about a couple of your incoming freshmen, and I heard a few people who got a hold of me that was like, you know, get them to talk about the others. And so, of course, I had to go to the Jersey girl, Kylie Watson, who's 6'3". I was watching some film of her. Her dad played Tim in the NFL. What could you tell us about her game?
Well, if you've seen her dad, he's a big guy, so Kylie's going to play a lot. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I don't want to anger him. but no, she is a baller. And she has really improved. That's why I put that film out on her. It's about a 4-minute long film. You know, she's got an all-round game. I've seen great growth in her in the last year since she signed here. You know, she can shoot the three. She can shoot the mid-range. What I love about her, she finishes well with either hand. But, man, she threw a couple outlet passes and looked like Bill Walton. You know, and then some one-handed passes, she looked like Peyton Manning, a young Peyton Manning. So I'm impressed. I actually think she's going to be, I mean, I knew she was a good defender, a really good athlete at about 6'3", 6'4". But boy, skill wise, she's really developed. So I'm so encouraged. Maybe I can even play her a little bit at the three spot and not just at the four and five. So, yeah, I expect big things from her as well. And by the way, 4.7 student. go. She's never had even an A-, and she did nothing but college prep courses or AP courses. I mean, Steve, 4.7, that's like twice what I got.
No, I was going to say, if you add up my 4 years, maybe we'll get close.
You know, same. I didn't even know that was possible.
You know, another big you've got coming, and obviously there's a void there with Ruthie gone, Angela Dugalich from Illinois, who, like, yeah, every one of your incomers is a state player of the year. And I was watching some film and interviews of her. She seems to be another one who just loves the game, battles and battles. What would you tell us about her game?
Highly skilled. She is 6'4", a legit 6'4", can shoot it with range. She can handle it. Finishes, again, either hand. But what I think is her one of her best strengths, she's a great passer. She gets the ball in the high post. She can make plays. But I love that about her. She's going to be a good one. She might be the least heralded of all those five incoming freshmen, but could end up being the best. You know, she was the last person cut on the Serbian senior national team last summer as a high school junior. And the Serbians aren't some slappy country. They took the bronze in Rio.
Right.
So this is a big time country for basketball. So she's got a bright future. Is going to be an Olympian someday, and I anticipate. I call her a young Breanna Stewart because she's kind of got that same game, that same skill set. I'm not saying she's Breanna Stewart. Don't get me wrong, but she has the game, you know, and the size, and I'm interested to see how she develops now.
Yeah, I'm not going to get more of a compliment than comparing her to Breanna Stewart.
That's about as good as it gets.
Yep. A couple final thoughts for Coach Graves. So, personally, you played 2 years at New Mexico, and yep. I was going back and looking at the game at that time. It was a pretty unique time because I looked, your team the previous year took 1,700 shots, then your last year 2,000, but there was an addition. That was the first year of the three-point shot in college yep. basketball. What do you remember about approaching that season with this new rule? And it was a skill that you had because – to brag on you, you hit 43% from downtown that year.
Yeah, you know, it was a change in mindset, Steve. I mean, we were always taught, get the ball inside, get the ball inside, get the ball inside. And then our coach, I remember, at the most basic of analytical levels, was saying, well, if we only make 33% of our threes, that's equivalent to making 50% of our twos. That was early stage analytics right there. So, you know, so it was part of what we did, but not a huge part. And I found myself always looking down, I'm on the line or in front of the line. You know, now it's just natural. You know where you're at on the court when it comes to the three-point line. Well, there it was still a thought process. So, and we, you know, we had some good inside players, so there was still the focus on that, but, it was almost as a last resort, take the three. Now you hunt them. You know, it's a big part of what you do.
No,
so it was mainly a mindset. You know, the skills were there. I, you know, like you said, shot pretty well. I think I made 70-something, which isn't awful. So, you know.
No, it was
sure come just, a long way.
No, just the timing of it to be a part of it, the year it changed, is kind of a unique category to be in. Lastly, people here refer to Old Mac Court as the Pit, but until I moved to Eugene, I heard the Pit and I thought of New Mexico. Now Dream Style Arena. I mean, you've been to a million gyms and arenas around the world and obviously this country. What do you remember about playing there where the students and fans kind of took pride in giving the opponents a really hard time?
Yeah. Well, I never played in front of a non-sellout. 18,100. That's what the Pit held, and it was crazy. It was loud. The fans were right on top of you, and it literally is a pit. That's why they called it such. I mean, here, I don't know why they called MacArthur Court the Pit. I don't know that story, but there, you literally come in at ground level is the top of the arena. So it literally is a pit. It's dug into the ground,
right?
And there's a huge long from the locker room to the court. A huge, long, steep ramp. And then you go out onto the court, and there's a sign that says elevation 5,200 feet, you know, just to remind your opponents, like San Diego State and Hawaii, which were in our league at that point, you know, they're at sea level. Now you're not. You're at a mile high, and it's going to affect you. And anyway, it was a fun place to play. They love their basketball. There's no pro sport in the state, and so it's as close as you can get to that.
No,
so it was pretty neat, fun experience.
No, that's great stuff as always. Appreciate your time and your input and your insight. You go back to hooping with the family and watching film. You can keep up with Coach on Twitter at GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves, always my pleasure. Always enjoy our chats. You have a good one.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Steven. You stay sane yourself, okay, pal?
You got it. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, there you have it, Coach Graves. Always so much fun talking about his playing days at New Mexico, because you know, a lot of people probably have the overall memory of Indiana's last national title with Steve Alford as the three-point specialist for Bobby Knight. All right, that brings us to break time. We'll be back with more sports talk, wrap up the 4 o'clock hour next, 95.3 The Score.